Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio here with mothers and daughters around the world. I tell you, good morning, good morning, good morning. A beautiful day. You know, I get up now, I think the older you get, the more appreciative you are. You know, you get up and move your feet and your hands are moving and you know what day it is. You can see and you know, you just go, wow, another day to explore, to serve God. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, because I can't say unfortunately because I don't know where what Jesus had prepared for us, and I know whatever it is greater than where we are. So we're going to say fortunately if those who did not make it today on this earth, that they're in a better place. And that they are with the Lord, and that's something that we are striving for. Otherwise, why would we want to be Christians? We are striving to be more and more like Christ and do as we're instructed to do. So this morning, I look back and I'm looking at some things that has occurred within the last maybe three, four weeks, and that's what has driven me to, well, not me, but in talking to the Holy Spirit this morning, you know, about the topic, of course, it just came right back to some of the things that has happened, and I'm watching a trend, and I'm just watching it, and it's so simple, but I'm watching it, you know, all my life, I'm talking to God. Many of you know, I've told you, I can remember having these conversations with God at 5. When I was raised in a church, yeah, they praised the Lord and all that, but I never got it like it was more focused on the pastor than it was, even though he was preaching the word. As a child, I guess that's the way I looked at it. I had a conversation with God that was different from what I had experienced in my earthly life, even though my mother told me about Jesus and, you know, read the Bible to me. And like I said, the 23rd Psalm was her go-to verse. That was it. If anything went wrong, that was it. My mother, the Bible just stayed open there. And no matter what, you go to the bathroom in there, the Bible, it was always to the 23rd Psalm. So I got that from her. It's just like a go-to whenever things get to a point, you know, you just got to go somewhere, that's the one that she went to. And so, you know, we find the ones that fit us. You know, Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24 are my go-to, you know, that gives me strength. And then when I go to Deuteronomy 20, the first four verses, you know, that in itself, that when I was going through struggling and battling, that was my go-to. But thank God I've grown out of that. I don't have to battle. I don't have the fears that I used to have. You know, I just get up every day and say, okay, Lord, here we are, Holy Spirit. I release myself to you. And I'm just going to be in that because I'm not going to aggravate myself trying to control something that God has already, he's already created. It's already there. And I'm trying to work against the Spirit of God, because if you're not following what he's telling you to do, then you're working against his Spirit. You're going against what he said, and you're just going to do it your way. So anytime you're going to do it your way and he's going to allow you to do it your way, then you're going to have those effects. You're going to come up on the rough side of the mountain, as they said, until you realize you just wear yourself out. And when you're worn out, then you just give in. People don't come to Jesus and really until they're just worn out, either sickness, finances, some situation that occurs that they just, you just surrender. You just give. You don't realize you surrender. You just fall on your knees and say, oh, Lord, I'm so tired. I can't go any further. Lord Jesus, help me. Boom. There you go. But as long as things seem to be going well, it's good time, Charlie, all the way. And you don't think about the instructions that we were given until we really need. And see, that's the greatness. That's the good news, mothers and daughters. God loves you. He loves you. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter what you've done. The instructions are to repent and to come back before me. And he's going to forgive you, clean you up, put the robe on you, put the ring on your finger, the slippers on your shoe, on your feet, brush you off, and hug you, and bring you right back into the fold. And you got to know that. But there are instructions that you must follow if you want to stay in the fold, if you want to show your appreciation to the Father for forgiving you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get into that, I'm going to go here and see if I can find our co-host, who is Cynthia Oliver, our Professor Oliver for the college. Hold one second.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Professor Oliver.
Good morning, darling. Good morning, audience. How are you? Well, I've been up, you know, I've had, this is really my coffee continues. I've been up since 7:30. I have a one-on-one with one of our students at 8 o'clock. So I've been up since 7:30. I'm good and hyper. So absolutely. How are you, audience?
Oh, Lord, I tell you.
Yeah, girl, I'm up, audience. I'm up and busy bee. I am. I am doing some paperwork for the school and writing letters for our clients as they continue to move forward for working with certain organizations that require certain things of them, and just working. And then I wouldn't have it no other way. How about that? Wouldn't have it no other way. Because I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I wasn't doing what God has called me to do. How about that?
I'm telling you. What else to do?
Come on now. What else to do?
There's nothing else to do. So, when people get that.
There really isn't.
So we'll let you give us a prayer, and then we're gonna open up a discussion.
All right. Sounds good. Good morning, Heavenly Father. We come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, God, for such an awesome task, thanking you, God, for choosing us. You could have chosen anyone in our families to do this task, but you sought not robbery to give it to us. And we just thank you. We're no special. We're no different than anybody else, but you had a purpose for our lives, and you have a purpose for everybody's lives. Father God, we were open to your call, and here we are, Father God, some 10 years later of the call, and we just thank you, Father God. Father, we thank you for our partnership. We thank you for our kindred spirit that we're able to work together so closely and so tightly that nothing can separate what you put together. And so, Father God, I just thank you, Father God, that we continue to be in obedience. We thank you, Father God, that we continue this path and this journey. And Father God, I couldn't have it no other way. And I just thank you, Father God. I pray for our audience today, one by one, name by name, Father God, that they too will move into their purpose, that they will be so busy about your business that they don't have time to get involved in other people's business. And so, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that we keep the perspective that it's all about you and none of us. We thank you, Father God, that we know and we understand that we are the arms and legs of our big brother Jesus here on earth. And we thank you, Father God, that we continue to walk this thing out. And, Father God, what an awesome task it is. And we just thank you, Daddy. We thank you, Father God. And with that, I say amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I tell you, it's amazing. Some things that you said as you were talking, praying and thanking God were things that came in the conversation with the Holy Spirit and I this morning. And as you were saying it, I said, look at God.
That is absolutely amazing.
Look at them. I shared the same conversation with them. They're amazed that I put them together, regardless of their crazy self. I'm amazed that they couldn't withstand the storm. You know what I mean?
It is amazing.
I just thank God because Lord. Audience, I'm telling you, mothers and daughters out there, if you just surrender, if you just decide, you know what? I don't know what to do. If you're working for a company and that company has rules and regulations, has a board of directors, and they're meeting behind the scenes, you go in every day. And you do what you are told to do. Most people say they will not deviate from what they are told. They tell you, you come in, you have to be to work at 8:30. You can go to lunch at 11:30. You must be back by 12:45. You know, you got to be at your desk, not coming in. You got to do this amount of work productivity during the day, or you don't meet our requirements. So therefore, what we can get rid of you. We can get rid of you. We will follow that, Cynthia, every step of the way, out of the fear that we don't want to lose our money. That's what it boils down to. You don't want to lose that paycheck. So you follow every instruction without deviating. But what about your life? What about the joy, the peace, the happiness, the love? The instructions that God has given us. God sent instructions to us through Jesus Christ. What about those instructions? That's where life comes in at. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Cynthia, I'm going to do the commentary and then I'll come right back to you, okay?
Okie dokie.
Okay. You know, this is an interesting topic, and even this morning with me getting on the radio and trying to pull up, I have just a basic script that I go through when I'm doing for the announcements and things of that nature. And, of course, my computer decided that it was just going to update itself. But I thank God for technology. Technology, I got right on the phone, set everything up on the phone. I learned that one day when I was panicking about, okay, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do? Holy Spirit said, calm down. There's no need to panic. Pull your phone out and set it up. And ever since then, I was like, okay, no problem. But so you have to beat those battles and resist them. And then the Holy Spirit can use His knowledge to teach you how to do what you need to do. So our stimulating topic today is mothers and daughters, just follow Jesus' instructions. That's it. I could see this being a 2 or 3 part series. Mothers and daughters, just follow Jesus' instructions. And Now, that takes me back to something that has been, you know, the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about, and I can't go into all of it. And a lot of times, like Cynthia and I are talking, and she'll say to me, you know, yeah, that's just for you. You know, when something is just for you, you can't really explain it to other people because they won't get it, because it wasn't for them. It's, I'm in that kind of a spiritual growing and awareness that God is sending messages through His Holy Spirit to me, to that's leading and guiding me and preparing me for whatever it is that He wants me to do at the next phase. When I look back at it, I went through a situation, and that situation went on for almost 2 years. When I think back over it, I was looking at it, and I said, oh, my goodness, that was going on back, even back when we had the mother and daughter camp up in the mountains. I noticed some things that was going on, and you know, the Holy Spirit kind of took me back and showed me gradually how it was building up. But I was believing God one way, and God came from a whole different perspective. And when He allowed me to tell the whole thing, I will. But I'm just using this as a situation. And all of it was a lie. And the and for the last 2 years, he sent someone. Angelicals would come. And spirits would just show up. You know, the Holy Spirit would show up. That would leave me messages that would just let me know that I was going to go through something, but not to fear it. And it wasn't, I mean, like I said, I hate to be doing it like this, but, you know, it will come out. But it's nothing compared to a lot of things that some people have gone through. But everything is relative. But it was a part of my learning that He wanted to show me something. And sometimes when God wants to show you something, He has to allow you to experience that thing so that you will be able to use that as a testimony. So when I say mothers and daughters, just follow Jesus' instructions, you know, I started about a year ago just looking at what did Jesus say. My Holy Spirit said to me, you know, reading the Bible, yes, that's good. A lot of people read the Bible, but you can read all day long, day in and day out. But if you don't get the wisdom, the understanding, and the revelation from the Word, it will not change your mind. And if your mind doesn't change, your body won't change, because the body goes where the mind goes. So now follow that. It's all about instruction. And so I was given some instructions to do, like writing the book, Good News God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. I followed the instructions. I wrote them down. That was my assignment. My assignment was not to go out and sell books. My assignment was to do that. Because, see, follow the instructions means you don't have to have the answers or the solutions. God already has that. It's just like you are not here to save someone. You know, if you get in your mind, oh, I got to save my daughter, I got to save my son, I got to save my friend, I got to save, you're the Savior, then you're not following instructions. See, God showed me that years ago with my daughter. I'm an only child. And my mother really, if I needed something before I could even think about it, I asked about it. My mother and my dad was there to provide it. You know what I mean? I when I left home, I never asked for anything. I never went back. But I always knew the door was open. I always knew. I used to call it the care package. Every fall or winter, when mother canned and put up, she had a freezer, two freezers, and whatever they had, they brought me a freezer. And I'm in a different state. And they would lug up and bring all my stuff. We never had to worry about any fruits or vegetables or anything during the winter. That freezer was full, you know, and it just was there. And that's what I knew was to provide. So when my daughter came along and she needed something, then I modeled myself after my mother. I was right there. But my daughter got saved at 16. She got saved under Kenneth Hagin. And she knew the Lord, but I didn't know that I was out of order. I just thought I was in order because I thought, well, you know, the Lord said we need to take care of our children. But the Lord said to me, I need you to stop it. That was hard because I had to learn that Jesus was the Savior. We are not the Savior. Well, he said, if you give her whatever she needs when she asks, and my daughter really didn't ask. If I just felt something, I would probe her so that she'd have to tell me, because I knew in the conversation we talked so much, I know when something's on her mind. And most mothers do. You know, that's what we do. We have that instinct whether we address it or not. Well, I just wouldn't rest until she'd tell me, and then I'd try to fix it. I did fix it. Because I was financially able to fix it. If it was financial, I'd fix it. If it was conversation, I'm there. I'd get in my car, go home, whatever it was. And God said, you're going to have to move out the way. I didn't send you here to save anybody. That was Jesus' job. But if you ask her when she needs something, then you are between me and her. And I need you to move. She needs to come to me. She needs to know that I am the one that provides for her. And that was a hard thing to do. So that was many, many years ago. Many, many years ago. But some of these things are kind of coming back in this new renewed conversations with God, and we're just going over some things, and he's showing me, he said, remember that? And it's leading to life being very simple. But the trick of the enemy is the reason that the children of God are suffering. We're suffering in our health. We're suffering in our wealth. We're suffering in our prosperity. And those are the three things. I think it's 3 John 2 where Jesus said, beloved, above all things, that means heaven and earth, the entire universe, the entire in creation, above all things. I wish you prosperity, health, even as your soul prospers. Now that's powerful within itself. That's what he wished for us. So that means that's the plan. But in order to get to what God desires for us, we have to follow the instructions. We have to know what the instructions are. And you have to ask yourself, what did Jesus say? What did he tell us? And in my study this week, you know, I was going through and I was looking, and I was looking at, let me tell you what I'm doing. I like to do this. I like to just read all the red, you know, because see, you have to look at instructions versus testimony. See, when you're reading the Bible gives you testimony, and then the Bible gives you what Jesus said. Now, Jesus, of course, you know, is in the New Testament, but was projected, prophesied, and given the warning that he was coming from the Old Testament. So now you got the instructions that God sent to us through Jesus, and then you have the testimonies. Now let's just look at the New Testament. The Old Testament is to get you prepared for the New Testament. Let's look at it like that. And so now in the New Testament, we have Jesus. The only reason Jesus came is because God wanted us to know his intention, his love for us, his plan for us, his will. But he didn't want to trust that to man. He tried that before. And undoubtedly, some of the stuff didn't get to the people correctly, you know, because man can err. David, great man of God. But he erred. He, you know, that's just the human part of being a human being. So he didn't want to trust that anymore. He said, no, well, no, I'm going to create my own son made from pureness coming into the world with the only intent is to give instructions to my children. Give them the truth. Feed them my words, that if they eat these words, they will have eternal life. And so they added the stories, which are the testaments, and they are actually the results, because the instructions tells you what to do. The testimonies tells you the results of what happens when you do as you instructed. I hope that's not confusing. And so that's the conversation I had with the Holy Spirit this morning. And he was like, you can share some of that, because that's, you know, he's showing me. And I, you know, you have to pick out your own verses that stick to you. Because, see, in order to build faith, I can't do what Cynthia does. I can't say, well, Cynthia read that Bible verse and it worked well for her. Well, that's because God and Cynthia has a relationship. And that's what God is telling Cynthia. That's what she needs at this moment. But that's not necessarily going to work for me, or vice versa. God is telling Bessie, this is what you need to know at this moment where you are to help you either elevate your faith or stay in faith. But that's not necessarily going to work for Cynthia, because we're two different individuals. And although God has us in the same plan, we have different relationships and conversations with God. And he's in our life where we are, taking us where we're going, and we're all coming right back to him. So, but it's the body of Christ. We all are part of the body, and every part of the body has a purpose, because the whole body moves in unity for the purpose of God. That's my opinion, and that's my view on it. You know, if you don't see it that way, I certainly understand it, because everybody has to. I'm just telling you from how I'm getting messages. And so I look at mine, you know, like I said, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 3 John 2, you know, those things are dear to my heart. Deuteronomy 20, the 23rd song, things that I hold on to. But the thing that just yesterday morning, my daughter and I was talking, you know, when Angie's driving in the morning going to her assignment, we talk. And when she's coming in the afternoon, we talk, you know. But yesterday morning, I was talked to her about something. And so I said to her that we were believing. That's what we were doing. We were praying together and just believing on something. And when we did, I said, you know, I said, I was looking at something that I've always said, Father, in the name of Jesus, and then I would ask in Jesus' name. And so I was saying to her, I said, but when I looked at John 14:14, because I'm just reading red letters. I love to just go through and read the red letters, because those are the instructions. The red letters are the instructions. That's why it's in red. It's covered in the blood. The words are in the blood of Jesus. That's why it's in red. So those are the instructions. Everything he says in red, he's telling us directly from God. These are the words. He said, because these are not my words. When you hear these words are not coming from me. They're coming from the one that sent me. So these are the words that are coming directly from God through Jesus to us. So I'd like to concentrate on those. They fill me up. the black letters, they deal with the testimonies. They're dealing with the situations surrounding the instruction. So, you know, you got a situation, and then Jesus speaks to the situation. That's the instructions. And so every red letter that comes out of his mouth just says that's the blood that he's going to share on that cross. He's going to shed that blood on the cross. Those are the words covered with the blood. So that's why I read them. So that's, if you get that, you get the instruction. And once you get the instruction, then you will see the testimonies. Let's say the lady that came to Jesus and says, you know, her daughter was sick. And the Canaanite woman, and Jesus says, you know, well, you know, first of all, it seems as if he wasn't listening. And then, so that, see, that's the story. You know, they're telling the story. She came and she told him her daughter was sick and she needed his help. And the disciples undoubtedly didn't really wanted her to bother Jesus. And, you know, all these things, you know, sent her away. She, you know, this, that, and the other. And Jesus not saying anything. So you got the story. It sets up the stage. It's like a play. And here you go. And Jesus sitting there. I can just imagine him sitting there at the table. Because, see, keep in mind, it says table in the content. And so Jesus says, well, you know, that the bread is for the children of God. See, indicating she was not a follower of, and she didn't serve the same God. So why should I can't, you know, why should I give the bread from the children, and I'm paraphrasing here, to you? Meaning, why should I give a word, that's the bread, to you or to your daughter when you don't serve whom I am? And she said to him, well, Master, that's the honoring. See, that's a part of the instruction. Honor. She honored him by saying, Master, even the dogs deserve the crumb under the table. That's the humbling. Humble thyself. She humbled herself. She honored him. And she was willing to take whatever he would give her. And that in itself, meaning what? I'm willing to serve your God because I'm coming to your God who created me and my daughter to get bread, to get a word. Because, see, Jesus didn't have to go. All he had to do was speak the word, and the body was fed. And he said, oh, of great faith. He saw. That was her faith. I believe you. Even though I come from a whole different mindset, a whole different group of people that believe something totally different, I'm stepping out of that. That's how we get saved. That's how we find salvation. We all come from a sinful place. So we can't look at anybody thinking that we're better than them. If you are human, we all are humans moving around. The difference is, are we willing to surrender our human state for a spiritual state? And she was willing to do that to save her daughter. She followed instructions. And you said, well, how did she know the instructions? Didn't say she knew the instructions. No, it didn't. But it showed you, if you look at it, she was following the instructions. So we have instructions versus testimonies. And then we'll go here. And I looked up some things this morning. I was looking up and I said, okay, let's just look up and see what were the commandments of Jesus. And the commandments of Jesus was, and I'm not going to read all of them, but it's repentance. You have to repent. You have to believe. You have to be born again. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. And you have to be willing to follow Jesus. And you have to know how to pray. And you have to have faith. And then in all of that, you have to search the scriptures. See, you got to search the scriptures. Seek. That's the only way. Then you got to let your light shine. Once you seek the scriptures and you get wisdom and understanding, now, mothers and daughters, you're going to walk around and you don't have to say a word to anybody. You don't have to go and say, you know, I'm this, that, and other. You don't have to tote your Bible to prove that you are a Christian, a follower of Christ. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is let your light shine. And how do you let your light shine? Through love. Through love. I was talking to a mother yesterday, and one of the things that she had on her list was that she wanted to change the relationship she had with one of her daughters. And one daughter was her biological daughter, and one daughter was her adopted daughter. And because she was there for the birth of her biological granddaughter, because she was there for the shower for her biological daughter, wedding shower, she missed the birth of her granddaughter for her adopted daughter, and she missed the wedding reception for her adopted daughter. And she says, well, I don't understand. You know, it hurts me that she won't talk to me. Well, come on. She's not talking to you because what? She feels that there's a stronger love for the biological daughter, even though you raised her all her life. When it comes down to your behavior, you're showing stronger feelings towards your biological daughter than you are toward me. And then plus you don't like my husband, so you know the husband is feeding off of that because there is a conversation going on, and so now she's not allowed to even come around them. And I said to her, you have to fix that. But every time I try, it hurt me. Well, you deserve to be hurt. Come on, mothers. We have to realize some things. We have to realize that, okay, it's a bump in the road, but I'm the mother and I can take it. Because you have to realize why she's hurt. She's not cutting you out because you're doing good things. She's not cutting you out because of that. She's cutting you out because you are hurting her. And to reserve her heart, she decided, I just rather dismiss it and keep going. But I told her, you got to do everything you humanly possibly can to fix it. Write her. Send gifts to those children, those grandchildren, because it's a shame for grandchildren to be raised and realize that one granddaughter is loved much more than the other two grandchildren. How many times have I heard that in counseling sessions? You have to fix it, because that's one of the commands. The command is to love ye one another. That's the first one. You can't show love, mother, against one child against the other. Because you're the mother. You're the one that carried them for 9 months. You were supposed to have that bond. It's up to you to fix it. So she was given some instructions yesterday. And she said, I can do that. Of course you can do it. If you're willing to do it, if you're willing, you can do it. That's why we have to be willing. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen next week when we talk. No, it may not be easy, but I've seen mothers and daughters not speaking. I've seen some terrible situations. But when we come together and pray, when you pray, follow the instructions. When you ask Jesus to help you and believe in your heart and don't doubt it, Mark 11:24. Believe it, don't doubt it. You should have what you say. Follow the instructions, and it comes to you. Now, I'm going to take you back to this John 14:14. And it says that when you, let me get back to it here. It says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And that's what Angie and I were talking about yesterday morning. I said, you know, all my life I've been saying I'd ask the Father in the name of Jesus. And I said, but I'm reading here, and I was confused. It says, Jesus said, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So I said, well, maybe I was asking wrong. But, you know, different books have different things. And Angie said to me, she said, well, Mama, you know, she went, of course, you know, she looked it up. And she said, yeah, it does say that. She said, but you know what? The other books, probably, you know, with, this is John, so, you know, Mark and Luke may have said something, and Matthew may have said, you know, they wrote the same stories, basically, may have said it in a different way, and I went back and saw it was the Father. But the one that really, when I would ask the Father in the name of Jesus, it's somewhere along the line, it was always, my faith wasn't settled. I don't know why. I just couldn't, see, that's why I say this is an individual journey. It was something about that that just couldn't, I wasn't settled. But the moment I read John 14:14, and it says, anything that you ask me in my name, I'll do it. Now, that settled so well in my spirit. See, that was the verse for me to build my faith on. See, if you're saying things, even if you're repeating it in the Bible, you've got to believe what you say. It's got to be comfortable to you in order for your faith to be activated. Because every Bible verse speaks different to every person. And this particular one just settled it for me. And I said, oh, my God, this is the one that works for me. And now it's just a difference in the way of my expectation. Just from that particular verse, the way it was worded. Now, that's not a coincidence. God knows that we all come from different thought patterns, different backgrounds, different parts of the sinful world. He knows that we're all going to gravitate to certain parts. That's why he said it. He says things in so many different ways. But yet, it's the same thing. Ask the Father, because me and the Father are one. It's the same thing. Ask me, then you ask the Father. But what works for you? What feels good to you? Because, see, as you believe in your heart and don't doubt, see, that verse, John 14:14, gives me that comfort in my heart where I don't even think about it. It just feels so good. It feels good to me. So find those Bible verses, those commandments of Jesus, and read all four of them the way Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote them, and see which ones fit, because they all are the truth. It's just, what are you prepared to receive? Okay? I could go on and on and on about this, but I'm not. I'm going to open up the switchboard so we can hear what Cynthia has to say. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. Good morning, and good morning again, audience. Yeah, interesting discussion. when we talk about following instructions and how complex it can be to follow instructions, and there's all kind of forces going against instructions. We went, Al and I, and last night to see Keith in a production. And mm-hmm. a read audience is you have actors on stage and they're doing a reading of a potential production that the writer desires to get out. And so they do the read in order that the audience can give feedback based on their understanding without knowing what the play is all about, to see if it's worth putting continuing with trying to get backing for this particular production. It's all based on what the audience say, if it needs to be tweaked or whatnot. Okay, so when I hear you talking about what's written in red, and that is the instructions of Jesus coming straight from him, I thought about this production last night. This production was, I couldn't understand I didn't know what was going on for most of the production until I started to see it through the eyes of psychology. Now, I'm saying all of this to get to this right here. Without us seeking the instructions through Christ, we don't gain the full understanding of what God would have us to do. Mm-hmm. And so this particular reading last night showed the complexity of thought.
Mm-hmm.
It showed how there was a character in the reading. His name was the intruder. Satan's job is, once we get it, to try to steal it. This intruder kept appearing in the life or in the bedroom, wherever this young lady found herself, which was her bedroom. See, we all have a place that we call our special place in order to make that connection with our Heavenly Father, that we gain the understanding. And this intruder kept showing up in this particular space, this young lady's bedroom, where she was just simply trying to be a thought and be at one with the universe of whatever her belief is. And then you had Keith that played the inventor, and his thoughts were all about what his father had left. And so he was constantly trying to take the things that dad had left and make something out of it in order to keep his father's memory alive. God has left us with the memory of Jesus in order that we can move towards him. But because we have so many intrusive thoughts, we get sidetracked. And so we don't know what our Heavenly Father would have us to do, because we simply have not gone back and return unto him through his son Jesus. And you said that we have to accept Christ in order to have this, to form this relationship, because he was left behind for us to, or he was sent here for us to be able to have that relationship with him. But if you don't seek the word with regards to understanding, and you said that at the very beginning when you opened, you've got to get the understanding. And until I started asking the Holy Spirit last night to help me, to give me some insight of what this whole thing was about, I was so lost. But when he allowed me to see it through what he's called me to do, what I do best, that's through the eyes of psychology, I was able to determine what the whole thing was about. And then they had all of this noise and wars going on the outside, the battlefield of the mind. Because, see, thoughts are always trying to come in, and we have to keep them out. So one of the audience members asked, what was that all about the war on the outside? It's about the battlefield of the mind and how so much tries to come in against us. But when you don't seek wisdom and knowledge, then we have no idea about what it is that God would have us to do, and we don't gain the understanding of his word, we're easily deceived. I actually had this conversation with a lady yesterday, and she got perturbed because I say, ma'am, she asked me, she said, what church you go to? I say, Christ the Rock, and then she said it was too far for her, blah, 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 blah. And then she started to talk about the Illuminati and blah, blah, blah that was after her, and I was like, okay, well, I believe God is in charge. I don't know anything about the Illuminati and all that kind of stuff. And then she said, well, you can say what, you can read all the words you want, but they got Jesus and they're coming back, they after me. I was like, okay, that's what you believe. And she got so perturbed that she just shut down and she left. See, that was what the enemy would have us to do, shut down and leave it that way. But you have to seek understanding of the word of God, order that we can even move in the direction and follow instructions. See, we can't follow instructions when you don't believe. You can't follow the instructions
there of
Jesus when you don't believe who he is.
There you go.
So you have got to believe what the world says. They after me. Mm-hmm. Okay. You'll start to fall and be deceived about what the pastor is saying on the pulpit. Because God told us that there will be false prophets. And so he tells us, study to show yourself approved so you'll know when people are giving you nonsense. But we have to seek the word of God in the truth. And the truth is, according to Scripture, that we have to come unto Christ before we can gain the understanding that we need in order to follow his instructions. Because the world is dictating what we're supposed to be doing every day. And if you don't know your purpose, and if you don't know the instructions of God, because like you said, you can read the Bible all day. Anybody can call out words. But are you reading it to gain the understanding in order that you can follow Christ's instructions? I don't know. All I know is when you seek it, he gives it to you. He said that you cannot seek his word and he'd not give you understanding. Because some people read the Bible just to read. I don't want to say out of ignorance, but if you don't, if you're not seeking it for understanding, why are you reading it? And if you don't want to move in the direction of God, why are you reading it? If you don't believe it, it's a great thing that you're reading it. But if you don't believe what you're reading, what's you doing, boo? If you're not asking for knowledge and wisdom, how are you reading it?
Now, unless you're trying to impress somebody, you know, people love to impress you. I've read the Bible 3 times. I've been to the Bible 4 times. Okay, well, where's your light?
I mean, let me tell you something. I went off on one of our students because she was telling me, well, I'm reading the Bible every baby. I ain't impressed that you're reading the Bible. You ain't applying it because you ain't doing what you need to be doing in order to move forward in life. You're not doing your assignments. You're not staying on point. So what is the point? So I'm not impressed that you're reading the Bible because you obviously ain't learning nothing. You're not learning anything if you're not applying what you're learning. So one of the questions I always ask students, what is it that you want for your children? Because because we're mothers and daughters, guys, we work with women, and most of the women that we work with have children. And they say, well, I want the best. Really? You want the best? Because that's an oxymoron. You want the best for your children, but you don't want the best for you. And the best is God's instructions. Because if you get it together and follow God, guess what? Your baby's going to follow God.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my take on it.
You know, it's so amazing when you said I had to just really, you know, kind of sit back when you were talking about the play, and I was like, and my spirit said, follow her. And how you brought that back around. You could have left the play. Because the arts are more of an individual interpretation. Of course, you know that. But you could have just said, you know what, that just didn't make no sense to me. I'm this year because my son is in it just to support. And you could have left, and that could have been the end of it. But because you were seeking, that's why he says seek. People think it's always seeking just the Bible. No, seek in everything. Ask me. He said, come to me in everything. I don't care what it is. You can come, ask the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you. That's why he's here. He's here to comfort us. He's here to walk with us. So you decide, okay, I need some help here, Holy Spirit. What is this? Show me some meaning behind this. Because with every situation we're in, there is a learning curve if you just seek to find out the purpose. And see, when you got it, you didn't even realize asking last night was going to be a part of your message and your healing for someone on the radio this morning.
Absolutely. And one of the things I've always been inquisitive, so I've always been asking questions. When I was a kid, and my sisters, they used to get in trouble all the time. I got to the point where I didn't like trouble, so I started staying in my room and listening to music and talking to God. And I didn't know anything about God at that time, so don't think I've always been churchy audience, because I didn't know nothing about God at that time. I lived with my grandparents. They were not church goers, and at that point, I don't think we had started going to church yet, or I don't know. I don't remember. Everything is all scared at this point because of the distance in life. But my point for saying all of that is to say this. I've always been a seeker. I've always been a reader. And so if I'm reading something, it don't make sense. Why am I reading it? And so I've always been a seeker. And so last night, and I'm sitting there, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit, I say, Holy Spirit, because I have a lot of noise in my head, I always ask him to give me understanding, because it's so much going on up there that I have to gain, because I like to talk. Let's put that out there. But I like to have something intelligent to say as it relates to the subject matter. I don't want to just be saying stuff that don't make sense. So right. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give me insight so I can somewhat sound intelligent, because, of course, I'm representing my son because he's introduced me to all these people. So I don't want to come off the top of my dome. I want to have some understanding so something can be said that will feed into this. The writer is there. I want him to be able to take what I say and apply it to the tweaks that, if he's going to move forward with this, apply it to the tweaks. And so readings are always about your understanding without you knowing what it is about, to see if it makes sense to the bigger audience. And so I've just always had that inquisitive mind to want to know that things make sense. And I just love that God made me that way. Because when you gain understanding, you can help other people get understanding. And that's,
yeah, and
you
know,
that's the way you and I are used.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you, because we got 60 seconds, but my reading, I kept reading, and I keep hearing it over and over again. Jesus kept saying, barely, barely, which means, come on, believe me. I'm telling you, please believe me. That's like, I tell you the truth. And I was so emotional with him the other night, and I said, Jesus, I said, I feel you. He's like, I tell you the truth, and you don't believe me. You know, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm set to tell you the truth. And he's begging them to believe that he's saying came from the Father. He said, I'm telling you the truth. He even told the disciples, you are with me. You see the hand of God moving. You know it's God. You see, you live with me 24 hours a day. I'm telling you the truth. But yet you don't believe me. And I said, Jesus, I understand it. Come on. How many times have we have been telling the truth and people not believe you, or someone lie on you and you know it's a lie and you cannot prove it, no matter what you say, it makes it seem as if you're lying even more because you cannot prove it. I just went there with him, and in that space, I said, Jesus, you, miracles right in front of their eyes, and they don't believe. He said, and if they didn't believe me, what make you think they're going to believe you? Oh, that's deep. That's deep.
That's the human side of our Heavenly Father. That you can have these kind of conversations and he give you clarity.
Yes.
It's like you're talking to him right in front of you because he gives you what you need in that moment to gain that understanding. He said, okay, baby, let me break it down like this.
Right. Right. That's
and
what
that's
I say.
You
can't
explain it to nobody else. That's why you can't explain it to nobody else because that was the conversation between y'all.
Right.
The other person wasn't
there. John 14:14 just was like a sealer on that for me, just a sealer. Because sometimes, you know, you read, but the enemy's still trying to talk stuff in your head. Well, see, he can't talk that stuff to me about that no more because then God took me to John 14. Now, read it from this side of the page and see what happens. See if you can get a different clarity, a revelation from it. All right, man, this is good, Cynthia. This is our show. I'll be right back.
All right.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Audience, that's our show for today. I hope you got something out of that. It says, mothers and daughters, just follow God's instructions. Cynthia, this was a great show. This is
absolutely
a show that just for Jesus, that helped deliver his gospel. It was good.
I love it.
Thank you.
I love you.
All right. Okay.
Bye-bye. Love you guys. Bye, honey.